Welcome to Thursday Wine and Dine, and it's the first week of June. I've no idea what number we're up to. Right, so what I love about June is, for me in Kent, it's the most distinctive month of the year by far, because it's just starting to have this big high sun, so we're getting dancing diamonds sparkling on the lakes behind me. But there isn't that oppressive warmth yet. Indeed, it's still quite chilly at night, in fact. And talking about chilly, I've got a Chilean Cabernet Sauvignon. But let's just have a look. So today, for once, no, honestly, for once, I have four red wines opened. And takes me back to a time in 2016 when I did a wine tasting for old school friends on Facebook, which I no longer subscribe to, and they wanted to know what is the best shop Merlot. So I opened 11 Merlots. I had 11 Merlots on the go for about 10 days, and I gave them my absolute opinion over several days, you know, how the wine's matured in the bottle and all that. That was amazing. That was my best ever. But today I have four wines. Now, I also have a big cluster of cut price strawberries, because for me the month for strawberries is June, and June alone. And I have some really nice sort of mid-weight red grapes and an avocado. Not quite sure why I bought the avocado, because I only ever eat avocado with chicken and I don't have any chicken, but you know, maybe some tuna or something. Or just, it can just sit there looking pretty, can't it? It looks healthy, you know, so it sort of subscribes to my maybe five a day and my I'm really on a health binge thing. But one thing that's very noticeable, as you see from my photograph, I have added sliced strawberries to each of the glasses of wine. So all of the glasses are Dartington crystal, apart from the other crystal glass, this one here, which is an old wedding present to a cousin who I no longer talk to, and she doesn't know that I've got her five wine glasses, but I've smashed one of them. Or well, actually, I think I've smashed most of them except two now, actually. Yeah, she gave me five because she smashed one and I've still got two. That's pretty good, because I mean, she got married, oh, I don't know, so long ago, I couldn't even begin to imagine. A long time ago, way over a decade. So that's pretty good for wine glasses, isn't it? In the universal truncated glass that I've got, which is my favourite, it's a bit spong, isn't it? So today I've got the Casillero del Diablo. It's a bit of a strawberry devil of a wine, as we will see in a moment. And then in my kind of Laithwaite's Lips big glasses, the ones that take an entire can of Guinness each, I've got Fleury. So I've got a Fleury from Naked Wines. Now, I absolutely love the name of this one, because for some reason he's called it Coeur de Granit, and that to me just shouts out Heart of Stone. And I mean, what could be more appropriate for me? I think that's going to become my all-time house wine, Heart of Stone. It's so St. Lady Feckinghall. She just has a heart of stone. She doesn't give a feck. No flying fecks given here. And, you know, on your bike, mate, bye. I have steak, strawberries and wine. And some mid-level, you know, reddish grapes as well. They're not really red at all. I mean, they're kind of pink and almost an orange, and then kind of a black currant colour. So, you know, there really isn't any redness in there at all, if we're strictly honest. Right. So let's give these a try. So the most exciting and unusual and almost exotic, you might say, wine of the four is the 2013 Fleury Le Maria, right, by Domaine Chignan. Yeah, it's 13%. But the interesting thing about this is it doesn't have a label on the back. And cutting the fanfare short there, it's because I bought it from an auction in France. I mean, that's extreme, isn't it? Yeah, and I've actually sold wines now at an auction in Sussex. That's fecking extreme as well. So I can really say I'm a wine guru. Yeah, no, I've been there, done it. You know, I haven't been to France to drink wine as yet, but it's something in the pipeline, you know. And of course, once I do that, I've got an invite to Bordeaux. Yes, just got to find the ticket money and all that sort of thing. Although I don't mind sleeping out in a field. It really doesn't bother me, you know. Get up in the morning, wring out your shirt, which is all wet with dew, have a quick one behind the hedge, and you know, you're basically good to go, aren't you? Wine for breakfast. Right, anyway, so let's have a look at this Domaine Chignard 2013. Now, this is pushing 11 years, so frankly and by rights, I really think this wine is probably well on its way out and hasn't got a lot to offer. But let's have a quick nose. I'm definitely getting some wine nose in there. There's not a lot going on, but it could be the glass to blame. As you'll see from my Casalero del Diablo wine review video, the glass does make an enormous, unbelievably enormous difference. So let's go for this. This is the jolly old 2013 Fleury, which should have been, you know, dispatched long ago, but it has been cellaring for a couple of years by me and probably was, you know, defunct stock when I bought it. Yeah. Well, it's definitely drinkable. It's not a wine you're going to, you know, write home to your grandmother about. Oh, if you still have a granny. Because, of course, we all killed them, didn't we, in 2020. But never mind, never mind, never mind. I actually killed mine in 1997, and the other one went before I was born in, I think it was 1963. So that was 8 years before I was born. So it probably wasn't my fault that she died, you know. And so, you know, come 2020, I really couldn't be blamed for my grandmother's deaths, because the other one lived to be 99 and died in 97. Yeah, because she was born in 1898. So it takes me back a bit, you know. But stop waffling on about granny. Really, honestly, you know, at the end of a rich life lived full of wine and strawberries and all the steaks and all that, you should be able to look after yourself. Right, so what I would say is, it's very clearly a quality wine, right? It's come from a property in France that bottles at the property, as the cork tells me. It says Maison Bouteille. A la propriété. My French is not renowned or famous for being particularly authentic. But yeah, no, it's clearly got all the hallmarks of a very quality wine. It just really doesn't have much taste left. So I'm going to do the unthinkable in the wine world. And I'm going to blend it with the other two wines that have got something left going for them, chiefly because they're 2022. Yes, well, they haven't quite died yet. In between that, the next wine, the Fleury Coeur de Granit, the heart of stone, as it were, from St. Lady Fakenhall's naked wine subscription, Michael Le Chaud. The other one was 13%. This is 13.5%. And, you know, 100% Gamay. That's the whole point of Beaujolais. Fleury is perhaps the most famous of the Beaujolais village, and if you can get your hands on a Beaujolais that's got a village name, they come under things like Chignobles, not sure how that one said, Morgan, Bruley, sounds like a horse snorting, doesn't it? My favourite, actually. Yes, I do have one of those bottles, but it's very highly prized. It won't be opened anytime soon because I won't get another fecking one. And another very, very good wine, which is made a little bit south of Beaujolais, so it's not Gamay, but it's Southern Rhone. Lirac, L-I-R-A-C, if you can ever get your hands on any of that, even if you have to pay £45 in a restaurant, just feckin' do it, okay? Because it's the wine of a lifetime, and you will not regret. And of course, you will go to bmc.link/ladyfeck, and you'll buy me a beer. Thank you. Right, now, pressing on to the heart of granite. Now, this one's giving me absolute splendor. I mean, it's almost giving me the sort of charcoal smoky notes of a barbecue in a fire pit. Those are the sort of barbecues I really like. Someone's taken the effort to dig out a bit of ground and they've set up some logs and stuff, and then they've put on a sort of spit, you know, over the top, and we're getting some fantastic, you know, awesome late summer evenings. What I mean is early summer evening. Well, it's not even summer yet, it's still spring, but late spring evening, the evening being late rather than the spring. Well, I mean, the spring is late. It's late spring, and late evenings are fantastic for fire pits. So, you know, if you can ever buy yourself a field, and there is a big hint in there, if you want to defeat the New World Order, just go and buy a field, because that's one less field, isn't it, for Bill Gates? Yeah. And why should he have all the fields? I mean, what's he going to do with them? Huh? Plant little, you know, Microsoft seeds to what? Birth new Microsoft computers. I don't know. Ridiculous, isn't it? Why does he want all the land? He doesn't really. It's just a scam. Right, so this one is everything you could possibly want in a bottle, and it's called Heart of Stone, What Not to Love. I tell you what, it's got forest mulchy mushrooms, it's got a bit of licorice, tar, the sort of tiger off the beach, you know, and he can't get rid of it. Seagull poop. No, cancel that last one. It's got, you know, the licorice aniseed notes, all the sort of things, in fact, you would associate almost with Shiraz, the sage, the tarragon, and all that. But it's a fleury from Beaujolais. And in the past, I haven't actually liked this foliage at all. So I was going out a bit on a limb for me. But, you know, it's nothing that a few sliced strawberries can't cure. And I have to say, this is one of the most beautiful wines I've ever tasted in my entire life, actually. And so you can grab yourself some by going to Naked. And I'm going to leave a link, right? It's nakedwines.com/PPRK80. And then what you do is, you get a password to quote, and it's, I can't remember what it is, but I'll write it down below. It's ASP32XYN or something like that. But anyway, basically you get a whopping 80 quid off your first thing. And to be fair, Naked Wines have proven to be the most ethical and exciting of the wine clubs that I belong to, because they really have a mission, you know, they're on a mission. But I won't tell you all about it now. But if you can get something like this Heart of Stone, amazing, Michael Lachaud, Fleury, I mean, this is worth you, you know, investing in at least six bottles, because you won't go wrong. It's one of those wines where if you think, oh, dash it, the Bingleys are coming around for dinner, what the hell, you can always whip out the Michael Lachaud Heart of Stone Fleury. You can make a jolly good joke about the Coeur de Granite, no doubt. Well, I mean, you can if you've got any imagination at all. Although if you've got the Bingleys coming around for dinner, you probably don't have any imagination, do you? Because let's face it, you live in the suburbs. Yes, not good, but it happens to some people before they make a staged escape to the countryside, which I did a long time ago, yes. A very, very long time ago. So long ago, I can't even remember those days when I lived in the suburbs. But there was a time, yeah. Shortly after college, you know, the suburbs. Yes, so I don't know the Bingleys anymore, but no doubt they know of me, because, you know, they trawl through YouTube and watch all the best wine guru thingamajiggies. So if you want to do me a favour, go to YouTube. I'm at KentPiano2600. I just never knew there was another 2,599 Kent pianos, but apparently, according to YouTube, there are. But anyway, get the proper one, St. Lady Fecking Hull. That's Kent Piano 2600. Subscribe and enjoy all my future wine, you know, indulgences on video reviews. So yeah, basically what I'm saying is, although the 2013 should have been the big blockbuster wonder machine, it wasn't at all. But the 2022 Naked Wine, Fleury, is an absolute, and bear in mind, it's a wine I didn't expect that I was going to like, and I'm fucking oofing it up. It's amazing. Totally amazing. It's on a whole new level. It's definitely going to be the superstar, you know, or one of them, of your wine cellar. Just keep them, you know, at the back of the cupboard or whatever for the Bingleys coming around for dinner. And they're going to fucking, you're going to be top of their friends list. You're going to be invited to all their dinner parties. And they do champagne really well. So, I mean, although the cook, she kind of murders, you know, the swordfish. But who doesn't, you know, but their champagne is die for. And so, you know, just a swift flurry or two for the Bingleys and you're on their dinner party list forever. But I must admit, a little bit of scintillating conversation never goes amiss. So what you need to do is to get over to bmc.link/ladyfeck, listen to her Friday feckery and just jot down some of the jokes and then memorise those. And you are going to be a dinner party, you know, connoisseur for the rest of your life. I've always boosted the conversation at all levels when I go to a dinner party. And then when I get tired, I just gracefully sink in my chair under the table and sort of nestle amongst the most comfortable of the boots or high-heeled shoes and sleep it off. Right, so moving swiftly-ish on to the Casolaro del Diablo. Now, I mean, obviously there are moral implications here. Should we be buying a wine that's got the devil as a motif? But I did, because essentially if you go to your corner shop and you have £7.50 to burn, it is the only wine in both red and white that you are actually going to enjoy, apart from the Hardy's, which is well worth the, well, not just any old Hardy's, for goodness sake. I mean, the Hardy's Crest. Right, there, that's good in both red and white. It's spectacular in red. It's one of the best wines you can to find in a shop for that kind of price, you know. But failing that, there's Casolaro Chile. Now, I haven't actually had the other ones yet. I'll have to try them out. But I've picked the Cabernet Sauvignon because Cabernet Sauvignon is a great variety that can withstand being utterly murdered by the most incompetent of winemakers, and therefore it's a good one to go for from your corner shop. It sort of just doesn't care. It's like, whatever, do the fecking worst you can, but I'm Cabernet Sauvignon, the king of grape varieties, and I don't give a shite. So that's why I go for that one, and it's a very unusual choice for me in June, probably the only June I've ever... But it is only the first week of June, let us be fair, but even so, it's fecking cold, so I thought, why not? So here I am with my universal glass, which sounds like this. Chock. It's not exciting, is it? Full, stuffed, full of sliced strawberries and this immense Cabernet Sauvignon, which is giving me all the pleasure of a Shiraz. Oh, yes. So what I'm saying is, don't forget, as well as the sliced strawberries, to slice a few grapes into your reds. I mean, possibly you could slice avocado into, let's say, the whites, because I haven't tried it with reds, but you know, I think it would sort of like kill them, but who knows. You've got to go out on a limb a bit sometimes. As the summer wends on, as it surely will, I will be adding raspberries and blackberries and blueberries all sliced up into my wines, because I just do at this time of year. But yes, so we've got, you know, definite aniseed licorice underpinning there with the tiniest bit of forest mulch and sage, tarragon, summer meadows, and really also the depths of hellfire. The smokiness, the, the burning flesh and all that sort of thing. Absolutely perfect for me cooking steak later on. Yes, so I have to say, if you're going to the corner shop, which of course is the last place you would go for wine, but just go for the Casolaro. It's going to be great and you're going to have a merry, merry evening. It's a damn good wine, and surprisingly pairs very, very well with these two Fleuries. And the other one, which I thought might do well, and it does have the most gorgeous purple top, you know, is called the Feather Plucker's Daughter Merlot from Australia. Now, I meant to do like an Australian, you know, binge, trio tasting, but I thought, oh, thicky, let's just open it now. And so I've opened it, and it's sort of almost finished, but it really has the most incredibly lovely, lovely see-through sort of looks, which doesn't promise much for the texture of the wine, of course, but nevertheless, on the nose, this is the cousin's old wedding glass. Jolly good, though. Sterling good service. Absolutely laced with strawberries. Of course, after a while, you know, as the evening progresses, the wine all tastes of strawberries and steak, and I'm just completely, you know, sort of cringing my way down the wall into a sort of hopeless pile on the floor. But that's what happens when you open four wines on a Thursday. Shocking, really, isn't it? But, you know, wine connoisseur, I can't be expected to be a cheap end weekender, for goodness sake. I've got, you know, another 5 days a week to find out all about wines of the world. And so, actually, this one, because of its texture, which is kind of very light body, I thought this would be a perfect match with the Fleury. But the Fleury's, both of them, are actually a lot fuller bodied wines than I was thinking they would be. So the Cabernet Sauvignon has matched up much better, actually. But nevertheless, lots and lots of nice sort of tight tart fruit, from red currant through to cranberry. Not bad. And that one's from Naked Wines. Well, I think we've had a bit of a dish on Naked Wines, haven't we? So two Naked Wines, a shop corner shop, and a French auction today. With some avocado, grapes of a kind of, you know, not green hue, and strawberries of the usual pretty much strawberry colour, yes. But sliced into your wine is absolutely essential, and I'm going to be slicing some of these grapes in as well. And in a little bit, I'm going to be sizzling that steak. So look out for my second audio, where you're actually going to get the effect of the steak sizzling. My gosh, but I'm not going to make the mistake, huh? That I did last week, which was, you know, I spent about 11 minutes on the audio, and of course the steak was kind of, you know, like an old boot that you might fish out of a canal, but it was delicious anyway. So rump steak tonight with strawberries, and I'm not sure, should I go for the mushrooms or the spinach? Because when I do a steak, it's just, there's just one vegetable. But in June, there's sliced strawberries on the plate as well. Oh my God. My goodness me. I will be getting a top-end Michelin-starred job as a chef one of these days. But I won't do any of the cooking, of course. I'll just delegate it to my underlings. I like that word, underlings. Yes. I never ever mow my own grass, by the way. I have groundsmen to do it, you know, I'm that sort of person. I live on a higher level altogether, and if I want to open wine, I just open four fecking bottles all at once and I think about them carefully, you know, and start at about noon and carry on until about midnight thinking carefully about them. And what I want to say is, if you trawl through my paraphernalia things here on houseeffectbooks.com, you'll see some motivational stuff, and it will tell you how I live such an indulgent and indolent life. But I do get things done. No, I really do. I'm busy working on the minute waltz, which we've discovered is actually 2 minutes. Isn't that, that's typical, isn't it? It's a fucking scam, isn't it? Chopin wrote this minute waltz in 5 flats, and nobody can play it in under 2 minutes. Dreadful. But I did find Lang Lang playing it at 1 minute 42 seconds, so I'm going to whip his ass in 2 or 3 weeks. And I've memorized the main section left hand, right? And I can actually play the main section right hand blindfold. So what does that say? I've got absolutely no fucking idea what it says, but the point is that I'm, you know, in the red hand and the black hand gangs, there's some, you know, there's some sort of manipulation going on there, and you know, shortly, in say 2 weeks, we could see a little bit of hands together action on the minute waltz. But it is going to be a new fecking ball game, isn't it, getting it down to say 59 seconds just to say I fecking did it. And I can, because, you know, I'm not just a wine guru and I'm not just the Welsh ladies chess champion. I also can play the minute waltz in under a fecking minute. It's a bit Roger Bannister, isn't it? It really is the Roger Bannister 4 minute mile thing of you know, I never remember with that 4 minute mile. Did he manage it in just under 4 minutes or just under 5 minutes? Because I've run a mile in 5 minutes before when I was young and lissom, you know, and my boobs weren't so heavy. I did. But so I guess he sliced the 4 minutes. But I tell you what, he won't have had the kind of job I'm having with a fecking Chopin 64-1 minute waltz. I mean, what is it with a fecking waltz? So these people that are waltzing, they got to waltz quicker or what? I just don't get it, you know. The peculiar thing about 3/4 time in music is if you play it fast enough, it sounds like 6/8 time. So it turns from a 3, bum cha cha bum cha cha bum cha cha bum cha cha, into a 2. But da 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 Right, but I sincerely hope you've been drinking wine all this time, because you should have been. You deserve to. I don't care if it is Thursday. Just fucking open your best bottle and enjoy yourself. Because that's what it's all about. Enjoy yourself. Because first of all, no one else is going to enjoy yourself. And by tomorrow, you could have walked under a bus if you're on a bus route. And if you're not on a bus route, you know, you could have fallen down a mine shaft. A bull could have gored you. Or I saw the most amazing herd of longhorn cattle. Oh my gosh, they're so die for. I don't know why anyone just bothers with those motley old breeds of, you know, yellow, pink, green and purple cows that you get occasionally. I mean, you don't often see them in fields, do you, because they're all sort of done in concrete barns these days. Did you know that just one bull, you know, they take the semen out of one bull and he fertilises 100,000 cows. Talk about inbred. Nothing like it, is there? I don't like that kind of factory farming. I disagree with it on principle. I want big open fields with longhorn cattle. And if they don't gore you, I don't know what will. But anyway, so what does one do with an avocado and no chicken is a question. And if you don't take anything else away from you today, I want you to think slice strawberries and grapes at this time of year into your wines. It doesn't matter what they are. Consider chilling them in the fridge door for 20 minutes because, you know, you can't do any harm to like a Fleury that's 11 years old and doesn't taste of anything. It's still not going to taste of anything, but it will be chilled. That'll be nice. And you know, if you don't like a wine, just buy another one and blend the two together. You're bound to get some kind of interesting effect there. And what was the other thing I wanted you to take away with you? Well, you know, feel free to open at least 4 bottles of wine a week, because why wouldn't you? And that's just the reds. I mean, I'm going to open some whites later. And just fucking enjoy life. You know, the first thing to do is to ditch your 9 to 5, obviously, because what kind of drinking time have you got if you're wasting the afternoon going to work? And I never get up in the morning, so I don't have any time to go to work at all. I really don't. What is the sense in it, you know? Work out a way of getting money, you know, obviously by promoting wines, huh? And enjoy yourself. Now, there was something else I wanted you to take away with you, but I can't remember what it was. So, switch off, right? Pour yourself another wine, a really big glass full, and have a listen to my sizzle video, audio. I don't know. I've got to that point in the afternoon where I just don't fucking care.